The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whoever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testify that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Evangelii
Dicta de Leontia Nostra Lecta. Isaiah this morning calls us to be God's servants, right? To build up his people. Now, of course, this is addressed to the Jewish people, but you know, through Christ, all people are gathered into the people of God, and so we all have this claim, but also this mission to be his servants, to conform ourselves to him, to build up his body, his kingdom, his people, right, to sustain each other and help each other, be good servants of God and be faithful to God and to take our faith lives seriously. And then he goes on to say, though, but it's not enough for you to be my servant. That's not enough. You are to be a light to the nations. And of course, in Christ, that the whole point of the Jewish people's mission was revealed, right? This idea of being a light to the nations so that everyone would look towards Zion, everyone would look towards Jerusalem. So when the light dawned into the world, the light of Christ dawns into the world would take notice. It was only somewhat successful because God's people were only somewhat faithful. They were inconstant. But here we are, so at least, you know, somebody was watching. And, of course, the people heard the apostles as they went out. And that mission to be a light to the nations through the apostles and all the way down is still there. In fact, it's even more intensified. It's not just, hey, be distinct, be a good example to the nations, be you know, my peculiar people, my priestly people, standing out in the midst of a depraved world. It's not just that. It's intensified by Jesus' last command before the ascension to the apostles. Go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is the mission. It is the call and destiny of every single human person to be a member of the body of Christ. God wills that every single person be baptized and believe according to the Catholic, Orthodox, and Apostolic faith that he left us, unchanging and unchangeable for all time. That's every human being's call. And thus, as those who have been enlightened through baptism, those of us who have received this gift of grace, sanctifying grace in the sacraments, our mission is not just to be a good example, and much less keep it to ourselves, but to go and bring all people to Christ. In God's permissive will, there are different people with different beliefs and everything. God permits that to occur. But it is not his positive will that people remain in error or darkness. That, well, some people have some degree of light. We should respect that people who have all their different beliefs and all their different ideologies and all their different religions, you know, they all grasp at some level, some amount, some something. There's something true that they're grasping onto. And that's delightful. But incomplete truth has no power to save anybody. And God wills that all people be saved And thus, God wills that all, positively wills, that all people come to faith. And thus, God commands us to go and proclaim the gospel to all people and to bring them back, bring them here, bring them to baptism and the other sacraments. That is our mission. I know it's kind of the, in our society, we've sort of had this, made this truce-ish. It's kind of a one-sided truce, honestly. Made this truth like, oh, look, everyone, we're a pluralistic society, and we have a lot of different faiths and a lot of different ideas floating out there. So we just kind of, so mostly, especially with religion, just kind of keep it to yourself. It's your own little thing. And, you know, I won't talk too much about my religion. You don't talk too much about your religion. And we'll just coexist. I'll even get one of those obnoxious, completely false virtue signaling bumper stickers. I have one that's on my car, but I have it on a cork board in my office at the rectory. Someone similarly with the religious symbols says, contradict. They can't all be true. But of course, we know that's one-sided, right? It's mostly telling those who of Orthodox faith to essentially, could you just not talk so much about truth while we're lying to you? Because that's really what it boils down to. I mean, look at those who have embraced, because you got to serve somebody. Like, well, I don't believe in God. You believe in a God, trust me. Everyone's got a God, even if it's an evil God, even if it's a false God, even if you yourself are your own God. Everyone worships something. And look at those who have made an idol of false ideologies, of this sort of progressive idea du jour, or just the idea of being modern and up to date with all my ideas, to the point that they will pivot on a dime when the consensus, which means really it's a kind of peer pressure, the social pressure is, adopt this new idea uncritically, immediately, or you're bad, or you're evil, you're one of them. It's a false, it's poisonous, it's evil. It proclaims lies to be truth and truth to be lies, but one thing they do have going for them is, boy, are they good at evangelizing their faith. Boy, are those people good. Now, they go too far, of course. They decrying the bad days when religion was forced down people's throats. Maybe they're not evangelizing their evil by the point of a sword, but they're evangelizing their evils by violence of a kind. So that's wrong. So take that away. But nonetheless, even on the verbal end, even on the ideological end, even on just the passion they have to share what they believe to be true, even though it's poison, with the rest of the world, boy, are they driven to make all people believe. In fact, they demand it, right? It's not just, hey, let me have my thoughts, my ideas, let me do my thing and don't bother me. Their ideologies demand that, no, you embrace, you celebrate, and not even outwardly, you truly must internally believe what we demand you to believe. Again, it goes overboard. It veers into the disrespect of conscience and evil. But before they get to that point, they are at least passionate about evangelizing their false gospel. We should be at least as passionate about evangelizing the real gospel, if that makes sense. We should at least be as passionate as those who forward false ideologies. In fact, we should be more passionate because we have all the tools. We have all the things that are necessary. And what is more, we have the truth itself, which is actually a value. While some Christians have perhaps trying to take the shortcut of pounding people over the head until they submit. The fact of the matter is that Christianity, the encounter with Christ, the exposure to truth and goodness and beauty itself, it is compelling. Or should be compelling. If sin didn't make you stupid. So we should joyfully and passionately and strongly be willing to evangelize and share our faith unapologetically with everybody. And realize that we don't need to take we don't need to resort to those wicked tactics, because we have all the good tactics that, if only we were to use them, and we must use them. This is not your private thing. This isn't a private club and your individual lives and your family lives. It's not a private matter that you just can't keep to yourself. And it's kind of, well, some people go to this church, I go to this church. No, it's every human being is called to be an explicit member of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. To the degree that they aren't and know they should have been, they're in trouble. To the degree that we should have told them, we're in trouble. And that doesn't mean you'll go door to door in your neighborhood, kicking on the doors, pounding the door. Do you know Jesus? Because that's not gonna change hearts. That's not gonna convert people. But maybe inviting people to church, being willing to talk about your faith, not being ashamed, not submitting to the subtle pressures and the rhetorical tricks and the looks and or whatever that cows people into keeping their faith to themselves, to be fully Christian in every moment of your lives. Yes, to be a light to the nation, to be a good example. But to not use, I'm living a good example as an excuse to not actually evangelize. Well, St. Francis said, proclaim the gospel and use words if you must, if you absolutely must. He never actually said that, by the way. That's a false attribution. I mean, it's in accord with the sorts of things Francis of Assisi would say, sure, but he didn't actually ever say that. And let's be honest, very frankly, 90% of the time people cite that, it's as an excuse to not actually explicitly share their faith. They're saying, well, I'm just giving you a good example. It's not someone saying, like, look, I really am, you and I, we're not Mother Teresa, right? We're not being this beacon to the world by just the sheer volume and purity of our charity toward others. Most people cite that you know, use words if you must line as an excuse to not actually share their faith. We shouldn't do that, because our explicit mission is that it's not enough for us to be God's servants. We need to be a light to the nations. We need to baptize all people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How you do that in your lives, how you share that, how you call people to consider or reassess or understand better the gospel so that they can one day receive it in its fullness and in its truth. I don't live your lives. I don't know precisely what that might look like in your life. But I do know that you and I are all called to do it. And I need to do this too. It's very easy living in my little Catholic bubble as a priest, right? I live over there. I work here. I go to the store, but I mean, it's very easy for me to say, well, I preach. And that is a big part. I mean, my job is to be a priest for the priestly people. My job is to proclaim the gospel to you so that you can proclaim the world. And the Second Vatican Council did mention that it is, in particular, the laity's job to evangelize the world generally, with the clergy serving you and giving you the grace and giving you the fuel and the energy and the guidance and everything to be able to go out into the world. You come here, we worship God together, God gives us the bread of life that gives energy and food for our souls, and then we're sent out to proclaim the gospel. That is, in fact, part of, that's the that's sort of the fruit of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So it is incumbent on you in a particular way. But I don't get away with it either. I still need to proclaim the gospel better myself. And again, I don't know precisely what that looks like in your lives. All I know is that you and I, we have to do it. And not in some vague way, but in some concrete ways. Bring people here. I mean, just literally bring people here. If you know people are looking for a faith, a community of faith, but looking for a parish, looking for a church, and you think, well, you know, I know people, you know, maybe they're just generically Christian or vaguely religious. And like, I think I've been wanting to go to church and I just don't know where to go. Don't go like, well, I'm Catholic and, you know, we're kind of, you know, Catholics, it's kind of a very kind of particular flavor and you can't do a whole lot of the stuff until you're actually really fully a member. So maybe, you know, it's a little easier if you go to, you know, Bob's Bible Hut, you know, and you can just kind of plop down and listen to the rock music, have a latte, and say, I went to church, right? But, you know, the mainline Protestants, the evangelicals, the all that stuff, they at least understand that they actually need to invite people, literally invite people to come to their church. Maybe that's a nice baseline. Literally invite people to come to this church. That might be something. Or whatever else is in your lives. I guess I don't want to beat that horse for a third time. But you get the idea. We actually have to evangelize. I mean, we get frustrated when people within the church have the arrogance to tell us how much glory and beauty and truth and goodness we deserve to get, right? Why then turn around in turn and be cruel to the whole world and say, I'm going to keep this treasure to myself? No, share it. We're going to be... If you love your neighbor, why wouldn't you want your neighbor to have what you have? This is wonderful. This is beautiful. Tell people about it.